BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up is pizza. Because the entire South Coast, southeastern Massachusetts area has been abuzz for days now because Barstool Sports leader Dave Portnoy has been down here reviewing pizza places. He does his one-bite pizza reviews, where he goes to a place, he orders a pizza, he then stands outside the place, he tries a bite of the pizza, and he gives it a rating. It is the stupidest, most flawed system that I've ever seen, but people go crazy for it. Like, how do you really know from one bite what you think of a pizza? And to be fair, he often takes multiple bites and keeps talking about it, but it wasn't really designed as a way to, you know, be an actual rating ranking system. I've heard Portnoy talk about it before. You know, it's just a way to kind of, especially post-pandemic, to help small businesses. You know, he's not going out and taking money from people to go out and do these. He doesn't need to. He's going out and giving honest reviews and featuring mom-and-pop places. Now, we know how that went with the place that he was feuding with. But for the most part, places have benefited from his reviews. I'm not a fan of the guy. I think that people care way too much about what he thinks about things, and he's just a regular schlub. And whatever. But the pizza rankings carry a lot of weight with people. So they're all very interested in seeing how he's going to rate some of our beloved local South Coast places. And I've already seen some of my friends getting wrapped up in that and making a big deal out of it. The bottom line is, him just doing videos about all these places, it's going to get people to go. I mean, what's the worst he's going to give somebody? A 7? I'm still going to go and have a 7 pizza, especially if I'm trying to try all the South Shore bar pizza places. Of course. Now, I had that plan in place. My son and I were going to go around and visit all the places that claim to make South Shore bar pizza and experience them all. But I can't really eat it anymore. I bought a pizza Saturday night and ate one slice and was done. And I can't bring myself to eat more of it because it just fills me up too much. So I can bring it in here and share with everybody else, but still, like, that's the challenge in that for me. So I haven't gone out there and tried all those places like I wanted to. But I'm also a South Shore bar pizza purist. Having grown up on Linwood, occasionally making the trip to Town Spa, moving to Wareham and having Charlie's Place, which was the family of the original pizza maker for Cape Cod Cafe, the Nicolau. So the more that I experienced it, you know, I still remember Tip Top Cafe. So the more that I experienced it growing up, you know, it was kind of all a very similar style. So when people are making variations of that, I'm like, and I'll be one of those jerks in the South Shore Bar Pizza group saying, not bar pizza, not South Shore Bar Pizza. And I actually put that comment out about Trading Post Lounge yesterday, which is the hot new darling of the South Shore bar pizza scene. It was excellent pizza. Very good. I got the heavy hitter. Very good. I just thought that it was a little bit too doughy to be considered South Shore bar pizza. That's supposed to have a thin cracker-like crust. This was a little bit thicker and doughier, like a regular pizza crust. Just my preference. And I put that in the comment. I was like, this just might be me, but this is what I feel. But still excellent pizza. Still worth having. Still worth putting in your rotation of places that you visit. And the place had a cool vibe. It was just packed. Packed on a Saturday afternoon. But, you know, I feel like putting all the stock into a Dave Portnoy review as a customer, as a person who's going to go and visit these places, is not a good idea. But, like, don't let that be what keeps you from going to a place. But I will say, the business owners get very nervous. The South Coast Today has a story where they talk to Josh Gagne over at the Dipper. And, you know, he talked about how he was very nervous about it because a bad review could sink this bar pizza business that they're only about a year into. And that'd be a shame because, in my opinion, they're number two behind Lynwood. Lynwood is the GOAT. Nobody's going to beat Lynwood, but they're a close number two. And over there, they do think outside the South Shore Bar Pizza box, and they do come up with some different topping ideas, but it still works because it's a good, true bar pizza at its core. And the other places that are around here, you know, they realize, well, we've got to do something to make the fans of these come down our way. Because they're so concentrated in the immediate, you know, Brockton area, Brockton, Easton, Stoughton, Avon, you know, all these places where they have a hotbed of these. Like, how do we get them to come down here? So they come up with things that, I won't say they're gimmicky, but they're definitely, you know, unique takes that you wouldn't find up there. But also, what will really bring people down here is more places. And that's what Portnoy did. He came down here and he knocked out a bunch of places in a couple of days. So he didn't have to keep making frequent trips down here. He could come down and visit this one, this one, this one, this one. That's the genius of doing a one-bite pizza review, is you can do 10 places and it's not like you're going to overeat. I mean, Portnoy's not a big guy. It seems like he eats reasonable portions. So, you know, it works. And he was able to bang out a whole bunch and get them all done and they'll be slowly released. But it is funny how, you know, for the customer, the consumer, it doesn't really matter what he thinks, but for the business, it can make all the difference in the world. That's a lot of power for somebody to have in the pizza business. It's like when people say, oh, the Phantom Gourmet can make or break a restaurant. Well, people pay to be on the Phantom Gourmet. And how does the Phantom Gourmet break a business? They can only make a business. Granted, I don't watch it regularly, but I used to watch it all the time. I've never seen an episode of the Phantom Gourmet where they trashed a restaurant. It can only increase the amount of people that go to your restaurant. And that's fine. I think it's a great format. I wouldn't consider it to be a review. And when I see it on a restaurant's door, you know, the Phantom Gourmet sticker, I'm like, yeah, you paid for that though. So it doesn't really affect my opinion of the place, but it certainly is. It's really fun to watch that show and get hungry and say, I'm going to go to that place. I'm going to go, and then never go. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
So, Pootsie's. Mm-hmm. Pootsie's, hands down, will always be my favorite, only because that's the only place I ever remember me and my mom going for pizza. And I do love the thin crust. It's just right. It's just the perfect bar pizza. I am going to go to that one that Chris advertises a lot on his show.
Mm-hmm. Profile Tavern?
Yeah. I am going to go there. I am going to try it. I just don't know at what point, but that's definitely going to be on my destination list. But this guy, yeah. And you know what? I forgot about the Phantom Gourmet. I used to watch that religiously every weekend.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a commercial. That's what it is.
That's all it is. You know what, Tim? You are so right. That's all it is.
Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that, but I don't really put stock in, you know, what they're saying about a place based on what they're saying. I like when they feature the menu items and tell the backstory of the restaurant. I find all that interesting, but when I see, you know, Dave Andelman shoving his face full of food, and he's like, this is the best steak I've ever had. And then he goes to another restaurant. This is the best steak I've ever had. I'm like, okay, well, okay.
Fine. I know it got too confusing, right? But I know for myself why I fell in love with that show, was because the visualization of the food.
Right.
The way they would show it so mounded up. I mean, like, I just love looking at all those pictures. Half that stuff I would never eat in my life, but it was just so yummy looking at it. But I forgot about that show. But I'm still going to say, hands down, Poopsie Poopsie. But it's far to go to Marshfield. I wish they would open up another. I don't know why they never did branch off.
You know what? In the South Shore Bar Pizza game, you don't need multiple locations. Because I think it's actually better if you have more places that are opening and doing their own version of it than if you had somebody that franchised it out and then kind of pushed everybody else out of it, you know?
That's true, but Cape Cod Cafe, now they got themselves right into the grocery stores.
Yeah, which was a genius plan. And that came about because there was a garage across the street that was empty. And they said, you know what, we could go over there and we could be making more pizzas that we could put in grocery stores. So it was opportunity more than anything for them.
And you see how they package it. It really was well thought out. That's air vacuum packed. Mm-hmm. I love that. No cardboard box, nothing. And just, So, I mean, that was a very smooth move. So I got one question for you. I have a friend that works in a Chinese restaurant, and he said they were thinking about actually making Chinese pizzas. And I said, well, what would you do? We would put shrimp, of course, the pork, and whatnot. So I'm curious, would you eat a pizza from made with inside a Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, of course.
You would. Okay, because I told him I don't know how that would go over. I mean, I don't know. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, you want Chinese food. But maybe you would go, when they make pizza now.
Well, there was a Chinese restaurant in Wareham for a number of years that, you know, they had an American menu because they knew not everybody would want Chinese food. So, if you came in and you wanted to have your Chinese food, you know, the husband and wife wanted to have that. Maybe the kids wanted to have a cheeseburger or chicken fingers or whatever. They would have that on the menu. And I remember my friend would tell me, he goes, oh my God, they have the best burgers at that place. And I'd say, huh? How would you ever even think to order that at one of those places? But the Chinese buffets put pizza out because they know that kids will eat it. So I'm sure if they did a Chinese food variation of that, I would love it.
Yeah, well, I'll have to tell him, to go ahead and keep considering it. He said he's just got to convince his parents because it's family business. It's very traditional. But yeah, that's all I have for you today.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And you know, that's the thing, is that as this bar pizza has become more prolific, people have tried to come up with their own adaptations, and not all of them work. You know, like one of the things that I found to be a great addition to the South Shore Bar Pizza plan was making Reuben pizzas. That works. But other people have tried, like, it's not a format that fits well with, like, the mac and cheese pizza that people like to make now. Because you're putting something thick and heavy on a thin crust. But, you know, everything's worth trying once, right? I once made a fish and chips pizza at my last cooking job and put that out there. And the person that ran the place, you know, we were a corporate kitchen within a distribution center. And the person that ran the distribution center, the facilities manager, used to always get on our case about everything. Thought that he ran the kitchen. And he was like, oh, that's so gross. What a dumb idea. Oh, don't ever make that again. Oh, and like complained to our district manager about it. And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to get creative with stuff. Give them something different. And everybody that got it loved it. It sold out within like 20 minutes of this cafeteria. And everybody that got it loved it. They would ask me if I was ever going to make it again. And I'd have to tell them, no, I'm sorry, I can't. Joe said no. Joe said he didn't want to see it out there again. And then I used to, you know, sow seeds of discord. I'd be like, you know, this guy thinks that he knows what you like better than you do. Kind of like, you know, get them riled up. But, I mean, I wouldn't order a fish and chips pizza. I'd look at that and be like, that's too heavy. But people loved it. And if you get people asking for it, you make it again. You don't tell them, no, you can't have it because one guy thought that it was a bad idea. I mean, we'd do that at the diner where we'd come up with something and the owner would say, no, don't do that. That's stupid. We'd do it anyway. And then we would do it and it'd be really popular. And he'd be like, well, keep it on the menu. Like, he had no ego when it came to that. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be right back. And oh, welcome back. And you know, you might as well face it. You are addicted to love. But you know what else you might be addicted to? Money. And we will be giving out our first Money Talks code of the day coming up in about an hour. You'll get your first code to enter in at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Then you'll have 9 more throughout the course of the day. It's 10 codes each day. Today and tomorrow are the last 2 days of the contest, your last 2 days to make that money talk. So make sure that you keep listening for that. Brought to you by Mirasol's Cafe in Dartmouth and now in Fairhaven. And speaking of addicted to love, one of the best Weird Al parodies in my mind was Addicted to Spuds about potatoes. I don't know how Weird Al's brain works. It's almost always about food or old TV shows. And I could always relate to that. But some of the stuff that he came up with was absolutely genius. And I'm glad that he gets that recognition from people now, that he is a beloved figure in the world. Because there was a time when, you know, you had to hide the fact that you were a Weird Al fan. I used to go to school listening to my Weird Al tapes and my Walkman and make sure I turned the volume down enough on the bus that nobody could hear what was coming out of it. And then I was like, you know what? If they do hear it coming out of the headphones, they're going to think it's the original song, not the parody, because they're just going to hear like a little bit of, you know, Nirvana coming out of my head. Oh, is that Nirvana? No, it smells like Nirvana. But I don't know. I also always found friends that were Weird Al fans that we could talk about the songs. And I remember lip sync day in the sixth grade, me and my friend Jay lip syncing Weird Al songs. I think we did You Make Me, which was on, is that Dare to Be Stupid? Or was that on Even Worse? I forget. Anyway, and Weird Al, of course, is going to be touring next year. We're going to see if we can get some tickets to give away, but it might be hard because it's a hot show. They're selling out everywhere. Coming up after the news, there's a local story that I want to talk about out of Newton, Mass. Scary story. Where a bus driver allegedly kidnapped 3 children who attended a daycare and photographed them. So we're going to get into that, and we'll have some other stories and things that we will discuss with you as well. We have our Mariah Carey contest still going on as well. If you would like to enter to win tickets to see Mariah Carey's Christmas Time, think about that. Think about being able to give the Mariah fan in your life an early Christmas gift. Hey, we're going to see Mariah Carey at TD Garden on Thursday, November 5th, where she's just going to perform All I Want for Christmas Is You 200 times over and over again. No, no, no. That's just what you'll hear on the radio. No, no, you'll get to hear that, of course, but all great holiday songs by Mariah, as well as some of her biggest hits. So it really is a show that is made for the Mariah fan and for the holiday fan. And we have those tickets that we are giving away as part of Tim's Tickets, which is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, located at 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. So go over to WBSM.com and enter to win those now. You know, we were talking before about pizza and all of the strange things that you can put on pizza now that people are willing to try just about anything. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, gee, you know, I had that celebrity pork chop from the butcher shop. It was fantastic. I got to go and get some of that linguiça and chorizo that I hear about. I mean, Eric showed it to me when I've been there in the store, and, you know, I don't eat a lot of it at home. It's not something that I think of to make, but I was like, I got to get some of that. They make it there. I got to try this for myself. So maybe I will get some, and maybe I'll try it in some different ways. Maybe I'll grill it up. Maybe I'll make a little jag. Maybe I'll put some on a pizza. It's one of the many great things they have at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. and where they make things that are the way that you want them. They cut it the way you want it. You want four links, they'll do that for you. You want a nice thick 2-inch steak, they'll cut that for you. Whatever it is that you want, they will do it for you the way that you want it, so you can bring it home prepared for yourself and your family the way that you want to serve it. And they also make great pre-made food as well. So if you're in a hurry and you want a good hot dinner, good hot lunch, stop by the butcher shop and get some of their delicious food. Check them out for all your shopping needs. They have shelves stocked with everything from steaks to soccer balls and, of course, the beer and wine cellar as well. So it's a good place to stop and get all your game day supplies as you get ready to see Drake May on Sunday. Stop by the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street, in New Bedford. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Milton weakens, but it's still a hurricane. Former President Trump planning maybe his biggest rally yet. And
from the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hurricane Milton still a Category 1 storm as it leaves Florida and heads out into the Atlantic. Tampa Police Chief Lee Burkaw detailed what they've seen so far.
We've seen a lot of trees down, power lines down. Fortunately, we did not get the storm surge that we were expecting.
Milton leaving a trail of damage across central Florida. Cities on Florida's east coast now reporting storm surge, flash flooding, and damaging winds. Several deaths being reported in St. Lucie County, where a tornado destroyed everything in its path. Search and rescue teams still going through the rubble. Governor Ron DeSantis says there were 19 confirmed tornadoes. That number is expected to rise. First responders in Florida say they've been limited in performing rescues because of the intense winds from Milton. Officials in Tampa advised people to try and stay out of the way to let emergency personnel do their jobs.
So please stay indoors until we give you the all clear. And again, we are in this together. We will be safer together if you heed our warnings and stay in and stay off the road.
Authorities are warning people in central Florida that even if they call 911, they'll essentially be on their own until conditions are deemed safe for them to venture out. Former President Barack Obama will be in Pittsburgh today to campaign for Vice President Harris. It's part of an effort to drum up voter participation in the critical swing state of Pennsylvania with its 19 electoral votes. Meanwhile, former President Trump made two campaign stops in the Keystone State yesterday. He's also planning to hold a rally at Madison Square Garden on October 27th, 9 days out from the election. Trump has said multiple times one of his larger goals is to turn New York into a red state. A judge is calling on lawyers for Sean Diddy Combs to knock it off with the bail appeals. Court documents show that the disgraced hip-hop mogul's defense filed the latest and third attempt to get him out of Brooklyn's Metropolitan Detention Center. They cite appropriate bail conditions, including that Combs wouldn't threaten the community, as to why he should be spared from the facility's harsh conditions before his trial starts. According to new court papers obtained by The Mirror, the new judge in the case has directed the court to terminate the defense's requests ahead of Combs' next court appearance today. The Justice Department may ask a judge to break up Google's search engine from other parts of its company. Federal prosecutors accuse the tech giant of holding an illegal monopoly over online search. Researchers at Oregon State University have found that robots make good playmates for toddlers. Robotics assistant professor Naomi Fitter says they put 2 to 3-year-olds in a room with a robot that looked like a modified Roomba vacuum.
Children having pretend phone calls with the robot, holding up the phone to themselves, holding up the phone to the robot, playing catch with the robot, kind of bringing over balls, piling on them on top of the robot's form factor.
The robot can throw balls and blow bubbles, which kept the kids engaged. Fitter says they were surprised by the amount of activity it caused. Fitter says the goal isn't to replace a caregiver with a robot, but to use the robot as a tool to help toddlers be more active.
WBSM Sports.
The Bruins' home opener is tonight. TD Garden, Montreal Canadiens. Boston Celtics continue the preseason on Saturday. They'll be at TD Garden to play the Philadelphia 76ers and the Patriots home to play the Houston Texans on Sunday. Catch all the action here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sun is out this morning. A little cold to start the day, but we're getting warmer, about 60 degrees on the South Coast by this afternoon. Warming up more for Friday, temperatures in the mid-60s and sunny again. And Saturday looks to outdo Friday, a high near 73 degrees expected. Sun all weekend, possibly showers Sunday night into Monday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Back in, you know, we were talking about pizza before. The bass player from Letters to Cleo now owns a pizza shop in, I believe, Somerville, Brookline maybe, somewhere right outside of Boston. So I plan on trying to get there someday and writing up a little story about it, but I don't want to write it without going there and trying the pizza and hopefully, you know, getting to talk to him, but haven't had a chance yet. So I did mention this story, which WCVB has on their website. In Newton, a bus driver allegedly kidnapped three children who attended a Newton daycare and photographed the young victims, who are semi nonverbal and struggle with communications. Justin Vose, 42, of Bedford, was indicted by a Middlesex County grand jury for three counts of kidnapping. So apparently, he was working as a bus driver for the Newton Early Education Childhood Program and Transportation for Newton Public Schools through a company, JSC Transportation. And school officials notified police about suspicious activity by him, by Vose, when students were dropped off late at daycare. When the bus company checked his GPS location, it allegedly revealed that Vose entered the parking lot, but instead of dropping the child off, he drove to a secluded portion of the lot. Officials allege that on multiple occasions, Vose took three victims between ages 3 and 5 years old to secluded areas, turned off the audio and video recording in his bus for up to 20 minutes at a time. And nobody had authorized him to change that route. And then a search of Vose's phone revealed that he took photos with the children who are semi-nonverbal or struggle with communication. So he will be in Middlesex Superior Court in Woburn on October 25th. Now, it doesn't say that he did any, that he was taking inappropriate photographs, but still, he took these children and held them up from where he was contracted to drop them off. And so technically he's kidnapping them and he has been charged. So I think, you know, that's a concerning situation, because what would happen if, you know, he had had a good excuse for why he was late dropping them off, and it wasn't something that people were suspicious of? How long could he have gotten away with something like that? So good on the employees for contacting the police about that, for saying something just didn't feel right about it. 508-996-0500. That is our number here. We also have app chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app. Let me update the app chat, because it looks like It froze up on me, so give me 1 second here. Not Bad in Oak Bluff says, good morning, Tim. It's my birthday, so it's a great day no matter what's on the national calendar. Well, happy birthday to you, and I hope that you have a great day out there on the vineyard. I hope it's a beautiful day out there like it's shaping up to be here in Fairhaven. Certainly not down in Florida, although now Milton is moving off Florida's east coast. The sun is coming up, and now they can see exactly what the destruction is. And as you heard earlier this morning, you know, Gilly confirmed that it was on, you know, he saw it on TV. The roof blew off the Tropicana Field. And I don't know if that's happened in the past and they've had to replace it, but that is something that is made to withstand storms. And it's lived through a lot of storms down there. The buildings that are constructed to withstand Category 5 hurricanes, and Milton struck land, I believe, as a 2. I think it might have struck as a 3 initially, but it was downgraded to a 2 because, you know, once it hits land, it weakens. And it was a Category 1 by the time it moved off. But there were still buildings that were designed to withstand Category 5s that were suffering pretty severe damage from what I was seeing reported last night on TV. And I also found that there was, well, saw that people were finding, rather, that there was, you know, significant damage in this storm of things that had lasted through other storms. I was actually watching as one reporter was talking about fences that not only blew over, but then they were watching as the fence was getting ripped apart by the winds. So it was one thing to just knock it over, this wooden fence, but it was also taking off the individual posts and they were flying away. Then I'm watching as the other section of fence behind her is wobbling. I said, oh, she's going to get hit live on TV with this fence. But thankfully that didn't happen. But it was a scary situation heading into that storm as they're talking about how this could have been the worst storm of all time. Thankfully it weakened a little bit before it hit so that didn't happen. But I think I saw the number was something like 20 tornadoes that broke out across Florida as a result of the storm. I didn't even realize that hurricanes birthed tornadoes like that. I mean, it makes sense, but I never really thought about it. And you can't deny that the weather patterns are changing. We have tornadoes here in Massachusetts more than I've ever known in my entire life. So whatever you think that the root cause of this may be, the bottom line is we need to be proactive and we need to be safe. We need to make sure that we understand what these dangers are. And I try at least now to always have a 24-pack of bottles of water in my house. Because that's the most important thing. Anything else, I'm not really too concerned about. If I go a day or two without food, I'll find some eventually. But if that water gets shut off, you can't live without it. But just make sure that if you do that, that you recycle that. So I shouldn't say recycle, that you cycle through that water. So if you keep a case or two on hand for emergencies, every now and then, buy a new case, bring that downstairs into your basement or wherever you're storing all that, swap that out with the one that's down there, and then drink the one that's down there already so that you have a fresh supply down there. It's not something that's been sitting down there for 2 years. And then, you know, canned goods, things like that, it's up to you if you want to keep some of those on hand. But if you do, again, same idea, cycle through them. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out and purchased a can of beets because I eat a lot of beets and then gone home and realized, oh, wait, I had beets in the cabinet already. And then I got to kind of cycle through my beets so that I don't have one can back there that's 4 years old while I'm eating the fresh ones I just got at the store. Same thing with corned beef hash. I keep corned beef hash on hand. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. welcome back in. 508-996-0500. And we've been talking about the impact of Hurricane Milton down in Florida. Made landfall last night and has moved on to the east, you know, coming off the east coast now of Florida. But more storms in the pipeline. It's a very intense end of the season for hurricane season. And as I was saying the other day, hurricanes don't follow the calendar. So just because it turns to November, actually really November is part of hurricane season as well, but you know, you hope that they start to slow down as the season comes to a close, but they don't have to follow the calendar. So we'll be keeping an eye on some of these storms that are coming down the pipeline. And I don't know how much more, Florida can take. And it seems that way. It seems like when they get walloped down there with one, there's usually another one not that long behind it. Whereas up here, you know, how rare is it that we actually get hit with one? We had, what, Irene and Sandy, I think, were the last two ones we were really dealing with up here. I remember power going out for both of those storms. I remember one of them, I think it was Irene, I was working at the diner, at Mill Pond Diner, and I had to go down to the diner during the storm because the alarm was going off. So I had to actually go out and drive during it. And I didn't want to take the chance and, you know, wait for the eye to pass because I didn't know that somebody wasn't in the building. So I went down there and I found that there was nobody in the building. And one of the windows had kind of popped open, set the motion detector off. But then I was like, what am I doing? That is firefighter Anthony, who is blasting the siren out there to let us know that he's arrived. So he'll be joining us coming up after the 8 o'clock news. We're going to be talking about fire safety, fire prevention. We're going to have your phone calls with him as well at 508-996-0500 with your fire questions. And we're going to make sure that we get you prepared and get you safe. We are also going to have as we get closer into the spooky season here, we're going to talk some more about some Halloween safety as well. And firefighter Anthony can talk to us about certainly fire dangers. But also, I had somebody that asked if they could come on and talk about just some of the safety involved with makeup, costumes, cosplay, because a lot of times people are finding that they don't realize that they're getting sick from some of the stuff until they actually put it on. So we're trying to work it out where that person can come on with us and talk about some of those issues. There was a story a few years ago of somebody that went to a convention, one of these like Comic-Con type things, and started to feel really bad during the course of the day and, you know, felt like their throat was closing up. And they had no idea that there was something in the makeup that they were reacting to. Thankfully, they, you know, went to a hospital and said, something's not right. Or I think they went to a urgent care, but they said, something's not right. You know, I can't breathe. And the person at urgent care just looked at them and said, it's the makeup you're wearing. And they would just wash the makeup off and were able to get the person back to breathing. But this person had worn makeup for a variety of things, never had that problem before. There's one ingredient, one color that they use, that's all that it took. So we want to make sure that people are safe while they're having their spooky fun too. All right, I'm going to take my final break of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments.
It's disgusting. It gives me a headache. So whenever I see it or smell it, I make this noise to warn you. Because where there's smoke, there may be fire.
Good tip, Seymour.
How many smoke detectors do you have in your home? Count them. Is there one outside your bedroom? There should be. Tell your parents.
Be cool about fire safety.
Be cool. So that song always made me think about fire safety, but also, you know, Gilbert Gottfried as a smoke detector, just perfect casting. And also Lindsay Lohan in a very early role there as well. So between that and the burn prevention commercial with the Looney Tunes, PSAs worked when I was a kid, man. That stuff really branded itself into my brain. I remember all those safety tricks now because I paid attention. Louie the light bulb, Woodsy the owl, Smokey.